podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
This is Omar Ahmed for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. I'm pretty confident this is going to be the last upload IFL do in 2021, and it's only right it's the Don Callisell and himself. How was your Christmas, Calla?
That was Christmas there, Umar. That was Christmas there. No, it was good fun. You know, it's quite funny in the boxing world, actually. Even at Christmas, there's one or two things going on. But it was quiet 3 days. They tactically placed it over the weekend. I didn't realise Monday and Tuesday were bank holidays. I only noticed because the rubbish wasn't moved from outside that I dumped on the road. It was a bit odd, wasn't it? It was over a weekend, you know, so it felt like a big long weekend and lots of food and too much food and wine and, you know, the usual Christmas stuff. But my little daughter got a bike, so went up running around the park, burning that off. That was good fun. Apart from that, you know, it was a good Christmas.
Well, yeah, speaking to you a little bit before we start this, you've been on father duty, as you mentioned there, with your daughter. You took your boy to Spider-Man yesterday. So has it been a chance to take your mind away from boxing, or have you thought about boxing a little bit?
Well, Spider-Man was fantastic because it's 2.5 hours long. So you got that little, you get that little nod in there, you know, had a good half hour kip. that was joking aside. It was all right, actually. I mean, they make massive money on the gates, these Spider-Men, don't they? And he loves it. And, you know, my film of the year was definitely Bond. And if you haven't seen it, I won't give it away, but the ending, I'll just say the ending. Wow. But, it's nice to... And unfortunately, though, this morning, back at the wheel and lots going on. So just working out the first quarter in terms of dates, especially Europe, is a bit of a minefield. You know, there's a minefield that looks like might be coming to the UK as well. Obviously, there's a British board hearing out about January events and things like that. But, you know, I think although the numbers have gone up to ridiculous, so I saw yesterday was like 180,000 with Northern Ireland in there. And I think that they will go up like that, but they will come down like that as well. So fingers crossed, no stupid decisions. I mean, it is at the moment. So many people have got it. It's it's running around. Oh, there's lots of people in our family who've got it, and you know, it seems to be a very mild variant, and people recovering very quickly. I had a mate of mine turn it around in 3 days. I don't know how he did that. Must have been his genes. He's a Camden boy, so Camden genes.
We'll talk about what's coming for you. Next year, well, in a couple of days, starting from next year, and we'll review 2021. But you just mentioned James Bond there, and I agree with you, that was a good film, and you know it's Daniel Craig's last one. So I'm just wondering, did they approach you about being the new Bond? Have they approached you yet?
Of course. I've sent the pictures in. It's a bit strange because I haven't heard back yet, but I am assuming that they're just looking at, you know, who the runners-up are and before they award it to me. I'm looking very forward to being the new Bond. Yeah, you heard it here first. No, I'd love to see Tom Hardy. I think Tom Hardy make a cracking Bond. He had a little cameo at the end of Spider-Man I saw last night. And I think Tom Hardy is my vote for Bond if I don't get it. So, you know, Tom Hardy, he's the one. A lot of people talking to Idris Elba. I think that'd be a cool one as well. But for me, Tom Hardy there. He's just great. He's got that madness about him. One of my favourite films, the Cray one, The Legend.
Yeah.
That one where he goes in the bar. Actually, me and Coogan earlier this year, talk about run up to the year, we did an interview where we both did the impression of when he goes into the bar and goes, what does he say? It's like a shootout in a Western, you know? And so I think Tom Hardy made a good one. But yes, I have put my application in, Umar. And I would give up the day job for that role. I would give up the day job for that role.
Well, I wouldn't blame you with the paycheck with a Bond film.
A lot easier as well.
Well, yeah, difficult year for all boxing promoters, everyone really. But how would you assess your year from a Salem point of view? Of course, a big change as well with
Wasserman. A historic year. 40-something years of Team Sauerland, two become one in March with Wasserman, you know, the biggest sports agency on the planet. So from that point of view, it's been an absolutely massive, massive year, you know. So it's been an adaptation to get used to working within such a large, I wouldn't even call it enterprise. It's this huge Wasserman planet almost. And those synergies and what that can bring to the sport. And, you know, I think within 6 weeks of doing it, we signed, I think, about 15 UK names. So I'm just going to turn this off. This is my baby phone in the background.
Your baby phone?
It's not very Don Keller, is it?
I was expecting like a Narcos theme tune or something.
Yeah, no. He's actually, that's how I put it to sleep. But we watched a bit of Narcos together. So it went from that, but that, you know, that once again, as I said at the time, that's an announcement and it's what you make of that. But let's look back, let's look even before that. 1st of January, this time last year, we were putting the final, crossing the T's and dotting the I's of Chris Eubank's contract, which we announced on the 1st of January. So looking back on the year, actually, the first big move of the year was obviously signing Eubank. That came just before the big Wasserman announcement. And I think, you know, we struck gold in the UK, partnering with Sky for Chris Eubank, working together with Boxer and some other shows as well there. That's going to be a lot. But we haven't actually seen those shows coming yet. They'll be coming in the first quarter of this year as well. We're just once again working out dates there. So it'll be non-Eubank shows on Sky with Boxer. I think that'll be fun as well. We've got some great talent in the UK signed up. And, you know, it's a market that we're looking to go from strength to strength in as well. I'm running through the whole my highlights myself here, but I'd say to see boxing back in Germany towards the end of the year. Don't forget, Germany, we didn't promote a show for 17 months, yeah, with the exception of the World Boxing Super Series final, of course, the back end of 2019. So it's, you know, that was great to see, partnering with Pro Bellum there. I think those are, let's say, the highlights in terms of what's happened for the industry, because it was a big thing for us, of course, Germany coming back. It was a big thing for us also to see, you know, the UK come to fruition in terms of deals and signing fighters, you know. So very, very interesting. I think that it's set up for a massive 2022. And you can look through the stable and let's, you know, start with, I don't know, Myres Briedis. You know, he's obviously won the World Boxing Super Series and had a defence this year. It was a tough time for him with Latvia being locked down. You were over there, Umar, yourself. You saw how big a star he is. And, you know, he's got a massive 2022. He's only got a couple of years left and he wants the big fight. So he's got an IBF mandatory. Lots of talk about Issa Kony, which we are talking about. It is we met in Dubai as well and spoke about that fight. That's something that I think will happen next year. We have got mandatory with the IBF. The IBF don't mess around with their mandatories, as we all know. Most famously, Tyson Fury after beating Klitschko and his belt stripped the next day. So it's not something we take lightly. And on top of that, Jay Opetaia is a worthy mandatory challenger. So that sign that we're just finishing up at the moment for early in the year. But we're talking about the Okoli fight as well. So I'd expect that to take place around the summertime. But it's a fast moving division. You saw Canelo throw his hat into the mix of the cruisers. I don't know what to make of that. So that's everyone very quiet all of a sudden again. Mm. But you know, interesting. Then you look obviously from the UK, Chris Eubank. You know, but he's gutted that fight got moved at the end of this year. But it sets up the year, January 29, you know, start off with a banger. That'll be our first show of the year. So, you know, if you want to make that the mark, you know, to have a start a year, I think it's a fantastic show, which could steal the whole year. So it's a nice way to start the year. We all know that fight has got so many levels to it. It's the sporting level of the fight. I think that they fantastically match each other in terms of styles, but we all know that for Chris, who's, you know, if you look at the Sky Christmas message that went out from Sky Boxing, you saw that the front man for Sky is Chris Eubank now. And he's got a mantle to carry with that. That's sort of something that you carry. And you know, he wants those belts, whether it's, you know, Andrade, whether we're talking Golovkin or Morato, you know, should have been last night, that fight. You know, that's going to get put, that has been pushed back. So that's something that we'll have to watch. But there's plenty of other big fights out there, you know. Hey, the winner of Calm Brook, you know, they're not making weight any easier these days. That's going to be an interesting night as well in February. So there's lots of options out there. And, you know, he doesn't hold a belt at the moment in the middleweights, but he's in many aspects the golden goose, you know. He's the main guy at Sky now. And hey, you know, the world champions, you know, they can tell me that they're worth this and they're worth that. But that's you need in boxing to have the big money fights, you need to have both sides weighing it up. And I think there we bring a hell of a lot to the table. Hrgović, you know, frustrating year. For him, who was spent most of his year in a camp for two fights, which ultimately I wouldn't say improved him as a sportsman, because those fights were never supposed to be the fights he was supposed to be in this year. We went into an IBF process. I'm not going to go, I don't want to ruin the end of everyone's end of year recap, but got dilly-dallied around by pretty much the whole top 15. And hey, a couple of days' time, we've got I think it's January the 1st, Martin versus Ortiz. And he's mandated to fight the winner of that for the final eliminator. Both those guys have already turned down the fight. So I don't know, maybe after they've won this fight, they'll have a change of heart and then want to do it. If not, they'll be thrown out the rankings. Pretty sure of that. We would definitely be lobbying for that. And Philip would then, on paper, if they don't accept the fight, would be mandated to fight Joseph Parker, who's just come out of a humdinger of a fight. So there's that set. I mean, Philip's going to have a very big year next year, and we truly believe he can go all the way. And, you know, that's something we look forward to. And, you know, one that we look back this year where it wasn't a good year, you know, on that front, but it sets up a big year for next year for him. And then, you know, like I said, there's lots of talents coming through. You know, if I look at Abbas Baru in Germany, you know, Denis Radovan, number three with the IBF now, middleweights. I think we've got five, six guys and girls in Germany in the middleweights, in the world rankings alone, in the top 10. You know, I just did an Instagram live yesterday with Christina Hammer, new addition to the team, former two-time world champion. She wants to become a two-weight world champion. And, you know, we discussed also in the future fights with her against Clarissa Shields or Savannah Marshall would be massive fights, you know. So very, very interesting times, you know. And like I said before, we had a little tester show for a lot of the young guys and girls Chloe Watson included, Ricky Hatton's protege at the end of, November, beginning of December, in London, where we saw the run out of the UK talent, and there's a lot there, you know, there's a lot there. So looking very forward to that.
Cool. Got you back. Yeah. Right, a lot to dissect from there, Callow. Let's start with Chris Eubank Jr. then. You back?
Yeah, I'm here, sorry. But I've got someone who keeps on trying to get through. I never know how to turn it. I put it on flight mode, but then they start calling on other FaceTimes and things.
A bit of bomb producers.
Yeah. So those, actually, it's the boxers trying to reach me.
Well, stated there that you expect January 29th with Eubank Williams to go on. Now, there's been a lot of speculation about the board not approving any shows for January in the UK. So can you make any comment on that, please, Keller?
No, I mean, we had 180,000 infections in the UK yesterday. So that people are discussing whether there should be events or not is completely natural. What I would say is it's 4 weeks away. If you look at the cycle that this Omicron seems to be taking, and once again, I am a boxing promoter, probably as far away on the spectrum from being a scientist. But I mean, we are all starting to get used to reading these numbers in the waves, and you can watch what's happening in Denmark. They went, whoo, and then they're going to go down like this again. So the way I'll go back down like this again. So you have to look at it and say, I mean, but we have 1.5 million people self-isolating on Christmas Day. So if you start looking at it, there's a point that comes when you simply can't have any more people getting it. There comes a point, and I think that by the time we get to the end of Jan, we will be very much on a downward slope and everything will look a lot different. We, of course, have a plan B, and a plan B is a shift of the date with a very, very short time. I don't want to say the exact date, but it will be very, very close to move it, just simply to move out of the January 4 weeks. If the board went and said no blanket ban on January events, I'm very much hoping they don't, because I think we should be seeing what the governments are doing. And Wales went down, and at first I thought, oh, God, not again. But then I looked at it. It was 6 weeks out from the event. They've said it's a circuit breaker, meaning, if we understand political language correctly, that's as well as that, two to four weeks. So we would still be outside that corridor of a window. And look, I would be very, very, very surprised if we didn't have it. But, you know, once again, they probably look at other decisions around it that I haven't got access to. But I would hope that they'll look at least at that event, because it is a big event for them as well, the British board, you know. So it's the last weekend of Jan, you know. Maybe if they have to put a ban on, maybe it's the first 3 weeks of January. You know, we don't have to always go by the calendar, but it would be the first big show of the year, and it would be a shame if that had to move. But once again, we haven't been given any other information than what you just said. We just know that they're having a discussion on it. So, and which is the right thing to do. I think all governing bodies of all sports should be doing that at the moment. I think most of them are.
It's good to hear, though, that in case the board do make a decision where January 29th is out the question, you said you've got plan B, which is going to be soon after. So we are going to get Junior and Williams in the ring.
Yeah, we're definitely going to get that. Yeah, and we're all guns blazing for January 29. But in this day and age, you always need a backup as well.
All right, fantastic to hear. And what's the plan for Chris Eubank Jr.? Should he come through that fight? And I say should, because in many people's opinion, it's a 50-50 fight.
Yeah, it's a tough fight. Everyone knows it's a tough fight. I wouldn't say that it's a 50-50 like some people are saying, but it's a tough fight. It's a fight that excites you. It excites you on many levels, because it's clear they don't like each other. It's clear that is an authentic dislike. They're also very different characters. It's also very clear to anyone who knows anything about boxing is that they both have one attribute that they both share, is that they both go forward. there's not much defensive mechanisms in there. Interesting roll of the dice, Adam Booth coming into the fray, the Dark Lord himself. And, you know, that's interesting on a lot of levels. Obviously, you know, during your training with him, but, you know, Adam's a top trainer. My little, let's say, spike into the balloon there would be, I'm not sure even what Adam could do in 5 weeks to change the style that we wouldn't get the fight that we all expect, and that's an all-out war. Now, knowing Adam, who's very, very tactical and very strategic, you know, if he had longer, you'd work off the jab, you'd sort of box off the back foot. I don't know how he's going to do that in 5-6 weeks, even for Adam, who's a great trainer. So, yeah, that's interesting. Then you've got the part that he's training Harlem Eubank,
yeah,
who's part of our team, obviously Chris's cousin. So on the same show, he will be boxing on that show. so it's going to be an interesting. It's going to be an interesting 5 week pressers with some interesting questions for everyone to pose. But yeah, look, big fights like this, those sort of ingredients, yeah, they're a promoter's dream, and they're a fan's, you know, fans' dream as well, because they're going to throw up all sorts of, you know, questions and this, that, and the other. And will Williams still come out to really go to war? Will they stand toe to toe? Will he try and box off the back foot more? Will there be a different element to the game? My answer on that would be, in 5 weeks in boxing, you know, to put a plan in place like that can often go very, very wrong. So sometimes it's better to work with what you have and what your strengths are. You know, and Williams' strength is to come forward and fight. But, you know, we'll see.
Definitely all the ingredients, yeah, for a great British classic.
Yeah, if you needed any more for that fight, which I don't think you do, I still haven't seen Gloves Are Off myself, which I'm really looking forward to. I've seen the clips. And, you know, and Junior was gutted with the delay. The reason with him, it doesn't affect our year as long as everything goes right on January 29th, you know, and that's a big ask. It's, like I said before, he carries a lot of mantle on him now, being the face of Sky, or Sky Boxing. That's quite something, from overnight, you know. Let's not forget, Junior just came back to the UK, really, in May this year. You know, his last fight in the UK was when he beat James DeGale, which is now quite two and a bit years ago. So from that point of view, it's a real important night for us, and totally confident in Junior. But what, once again, it's boxing. You've got to get through these things.
Should your confidence be proved right with Junior? I know you mentioned a series of names there earlier in the interview for Eubank, but is there like a first plan of action for Junior should he come through that fight? Is there a specific name you're targeting?
Now, listen, if you say the word Junior and big fight, there's always one name that is always going to be come up and is always going to be there. I don't know what he's up to at the moment. I can't answer it. But of course, you know, and we both are grinning, but we both know we're talking about those three letters. You know, wherever Billy is, you know, he's a boxing man, Billy. I don't think he's going anywhere, but back into the ring at some stage. And then I think that is a fight that everyone wants to see. Forgetting all the things that, you know, the banter between them and et cetera, and that the one doesn't like the other and whatever. Hey, that's not the first time in boxing that's happened, but that doesn't mean they can't fight. It's beneficial to both. But so when you ask me the names, that will always be for me in the head. That's why I start grinning. So of course, that's the first one I look at, because that for me is, after Tyson Fury versus Joshua, that is the biggest fight in the UK, bar none. And I'd love to have any debate with anyone about that. That is the fight that would excite this mate nation the most. That is a Wembley Stadium fight, two times over. It's huge, massive, 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 massive. In fact, the press conference could do Wembley Stadium. But that aside, looking at what the first focus is, the belts, that, of course, is something that, you know, that's what we want. And that's what we have to focus on right now until a Billy Joe or, you know, there's talk of, you know, also a Canelo fight. But that's all talk. So until that becomes a reality, we focus on the belts. We're number one at the WBC. You know, we've got some fantastic ratings as well. WBA, where I think we have a final eliminator being announced for the WBA as well. So we've got lots of different positions to build on. But like I said before, every box is in a different position. Filip Hrgović, we just discussed him before. He's never going to get a voluntary shot in a month for Sundays. Yeah, not a chance. He's never going to get a voluntary shot. He has to stand in line for that mandatory. That's why we've gone with the IBF. That's the quickest way there. There's the other stuff that's going on with the other belts. So we're very confident that Filip will be fighting for the world title next year because of the mandatory position. We have to enforce that. His home market is Croatia. Eubank, slightly different. He is the head of the main face of Sky. He's going to command a very, very strong pay-per-view audience for a world title fight. That is something that, if you look at the champs, and I'm going to leave Golovkin out here, is appealing for them all, you know? And so that's something where, though that fight, those titles are much easier to bring those big fights to the UK. And sorry to use two completely different comparisons, but I have to explain it so that you understand, that the viewer can understand that the way to the top, or the way to the world title, isn't always the same. It isn't always straight cut. It's not, you know, it's not always simple. But with Junior, it's going to look good for 2022. I can assure you that.
Okay, someone you don't have to plan a world title for is, of course, Myres Briedis, long-time reigning world champion. Now, there's been a lot of talk recently from Lawrence Okolie and Eddie Hearn that you guys have gone completely radio silent on this fight after you were saying, let's make the fight in the extra. Well, what's your response?
Yeah, I'm baffled by it. I don't know if Eddie and Lawrence are talking. I don't know. That's not my business either. But I've had a number of discussions with them, also with Frank, CEO at Matchroom, with Eddie. In fact, conversations that date back to, I looked in my little black book, and Eddie, you know my black book, that never lies. And it dates back to like November last year when we started talking about it. Now, for one reason or another, it's been also probably the wrong time to make that fight. You know, very difficult to get a gate in Latvia. Lawrence has never really headlined in the UK. You know, he's boxed mainly as a co-feature to AJ. So, you know, I think that the natural place for that fight to take place would be Latvia. And we've discussed that with them, gone through that with them. They also know very, very clearly that we have this mandatory obligation, but that doesn't affect that. We can put the deal in place now, you know, not an issue at all. It's the fight that Myres, not overlooking Obataya because he's a tough opponent, which will probably take place down under. That let's put it together now, you know, and you know that part is something that. Listen, we've done enough big fights with Eddie and with Frank Smith, to you know, I could write you 100 chapters on fights we put together, big fights, probably arguably bigger fights and much bigger fights than this one. Although I believe this fight can be huge. It can be a huge fight with the right build-up. So maybe the build-up's good, what's going to be talked around it. I think Lawrence is a great young champ, and I think that he deserves a chance to unify like Myres has unified in the past. You know, people who the other day sent out a couple of comments on that said, "Oh, he's dodgy." I mean, listen, Myers Previs would dodge Akoli. Yeah, right. This is a man who a lot of people had up against Usyk, a person who went with Dorticos, arguably the second best cruiser on the planet, and gave him a lesson for at least 8 of the 12 rounds. And, you know, he's fought, I don't know, Mike Perez, Noel Gavor, Glavatsky, you know, so this is, you know, this is it, when Akoli beat Glavatsky, it was the leftovers of what Previs had left with him, you know. So, you know, I understand, and I'm not saying that Lawrence is not a good boxer, he's a very, very good boxer, but this is his acid test. This is the test, you know, and I think that's the storyline behind it. And I think, hey, great, that's a promoter, that's a great fight to promote. So let's just go and do it and not talk about it so much.
So according to you, discussions have been going on. So why do you think they're saying it's gone quiet then from your side?
I'm just saying we are not at the point to say that we have a deal. They are expecting a lot from us, and we are expecting a lot from them, which is a normal part in a negotiation. So it's not the first time that Eddie thinks that I've got lots to give him, and I think that Eddie's got lots to give me, of which I have to make Myris happy, and he'll have to make Lawrence happy. That's why I'm laughing. Will we get there? Yeah, we will, when we're both pushed to, because he knows that we've got to make a move at some stage. I'm not in a rush to do it because I'm sitting here finalising my mandatory right now. I don't know what they're up to, but they know we have a mandatory defence. So if it was now a matter of, oh, we've got to do this fight now in March, yeah, we'd have a deal in place now. But we know we can't make the fight in March. We have an IBF mandatory. That's been ordered on us. That's nothing that we can sneak around, you know?
All right.
Does that make sense, Umar? I want to put this one to bed. Are you happy with that? Do you follow what I'm saying?
I completely understand what you're saying. It's good that you've clarified the situation.
I mean, it sounds from the outside like, you know, these two, Eddie and Kelly, they're just playing games with each other the whole time. We're not. They had a timeline which they wanted to box on the Joshua fight. We wanted to box at that time against them. It wasn't possible. Totally understand that. Wrong timing. Okay, good. Also, there wouldn't have been the budget to put that fight on the undercard of any fight. So no point, right? We did look at that, but it was out the book. So that's no fault of Eddie's or Lawrence's, not saying that they ran scared or anything. There's none of that at all. They want that fight. I know they want that fight. And we won that fight. But that when they had that fight, we're not going to sit there and do nothing. So he went out and did a voluntary. We were ordered then to do a mandatory. But that's cool. We do our mandatory on the basis that we get through the mandatory, we'll fight next. But we can do that deal now. And they can have a voluntary in between. Hey, if either of us loses, then fight's off, clearly. But why not get it done now? But it's, like I said, in boxing, if it's not the next fight, it's not at the top of my list of 100 priorities right now is to make a fight when I'm just trying to finalise the mandatory. That's all.
Yeah. All right. We get that.
But that fight, let them keep winning. That fight will happen next year. That is the fight in the division right now. There's no other fight that, you know, don't want to watch a washed up Makabu, who Tony Bellew beat 5 years ago, or the other champs there. There's one champ at cruiserweight right now. Everyone knows that. And there's one young, hungry lion coming through. And I'm not saying that he's not a world champ. On paper, he's a world champ. But he is not a world champ, according to Myris. Myris's head is like, I fought all the best, so let him come to me. And that's what it is.
Let me just throw in a curveball. I know you love a curveball, Kala.
Always. I've had an espresso, so I'm ready for it.
Well, this is perfect timing. What if the phone rung from MVP Promotions and Jake Paul?
You're throwing in a curveball. I thought I'd need another espresso. Another cheeky live now. But let me tell you, I would, of course, take the... Who's MVP, by the way?
His promotional company.
Okay, I don't know if it's over there. I know Jake Paul now, but I don't know who MVP is. Okay. So is MVP a company or a person?
It's Jake Paul's promotional outfit. So someone runs it and they obviously promote it.
Okay, so that's the name of the company, yeah. MVP. Quite cool. Yeah, quite like that, MVP. Not bad. Even I got that. Of course we take the call. I mean, Myers thinks it's all a bit of a wind-up, yeah? And Myers has a very creative sense of humour. And I said, Myers, people might take this the wrong way, that you're calling out Jake Paul and you really want a Jake Paul fight. He said, yes, I take it for lots of money. So I said, yeah, it's a business at the end of the day. I said, there is not a chance, Myers. That's why I get your question, and of course I'd take the call, and of course I'd love to make a deal for that fight. I mean, we could do it as part of a training camp. It would be fantastic because it could be like on his day off, he could have the fight and then go back to sparring the next day for the serious fight. Yeah, it would be better than the dialing back in the day an 0898 number. That's the feeling you'd get when that call came through, I'm sure. But, Umar, the call ain't coming, right? The call is not coming, right? Myers wouldn't understand if he was told, I've got a box to a script, you know, go down in the second, jab him in the... he's not going to follow... it ain't going to work. He'd probably read the script wrong and take his head off and put on top of the arena after a round. But joking aside, yeah, of course we do the fight. Of course we would. You know, fit brilliantly into some training schedule. You know, we could... Yeah, not an issue. So yeah, that's my answer to your curveball. Right, you threw that one at me.
We threw it right back. Callum, let's just get your opinion rather on a few things before we close off. So, recent talk after Chisora's loss to Joseph Parker from Eddie Hearn, saying that he wants to make the fight with Deontay Wilder. Oops.
Yeah, did he say that?
Yeah,
because I saw it out there. I mean, I think, first of all, I wasn't there. I didn't watch it live. Listen, I looked after Del for many years. What a fella. What a warrior. he's not going to like what I'm going to say now, but there comes a point when you've got to remember Del's got a lovely, he's got a lovely family and everything else. He's set up for life. You do put your arm around him and say, look how far you've come. Yeah. But Del ain't going to listen. Yeah. That's the issue. I do think that Wilder has been stripped bare by Fury. I do believe that. I don't think about Wilder like when he was knocking everyone out. And, I think that Del would come to fight and would smother him, which is a horrible style for Wilder. We saw that with Fury. When Fury came in the second, especially in the second fight, he smothered him, couldn't get his shot off. But he's still one hell of a puncher. Yeah. So I don't know. I think that's a brutal fight to make. That's a brutal fight to make. But I'm not saying that Del wouldn't give him help, yeah? Hell, absolute hell, until he couldn't. Yeah? The issue is that Wilder is still, and that won't change, when he lands, we know that he's the best puncher at heavyweights. That's, for me, pretty obvious on what he's boxed so far. I'm not saying there's not young guys coming through and... I think Hrgović is a great puncher as well. I think Joshua is a great puncher if he can start throwing that right like he used to. But on what he's done with his right hand, he is clinical with it. Yeah. So, and to give, so it's, yeah, I'd say it's a brutal one to do straight after that Parker fight. Would I watch it? Of course, we'd all watch it. It's certainly an interesting one. I think there's other fights I'd do with Del, but yeah.
And last one to finish off, again, heavyweight division. We're expecting Tyson Fury and Dillian White to happen next. I don't know if you've kept up with events, but that's not going to happen next. Have you seen much of that?
Yeah, I saw a clip from you and Bob. That's pretty much what I know. So, Umar, it's from you and Bob, your interview with Bob. So I'm just going to go off the basis of what Bob was saying. Listen, first of all, I'd say greedy is subjective. That's the first thing I'd say. Yeah, I'm sure Bob has been called greedy. In fact, I've called him greedy before. So I'm sure, I know he's been called greedy before. And I'm sure I've been called greedy before. And I'm pretty sure of that as well. But the difficulty here is, and this is just fact, is this is not a voluntary fight. So it's not, you know, let's do Fury versus White, which, by the way, is a fantastic fight. I'd love to watch it. It's a fantastic fight. But if it was a voluntary, then you can say someone's greedy, because you can say, right, okay, we'll pay you $5 million. And you say, no, I want 10, right? So, right, well, see you later. It's a voluntary. We'll pick Derek Chisora next. Okay. That's fair enough. This is not a voluntary. So this is that's the first distinguishment. One needs to distinguish between the two. And if you look at that, you have to say, what's the split, right? So if me and you are negotiating a mandatory, I need to know the split. So I can't really say you're being greedy. If he's asking for 10 million from the outside, it's an arbitrator here. I know that's a horrible word to use at the moment, but judge speaking here, a referee from the outside. If it was a 50-50 split, I'd say that's not greedy. I'd say that's negotiable. You know, we'd have to still chip it a bit, but it's not greedy. So, but we don't know the split. Now, I don't think there is a 50-50 on this basis with the BC. Yeah, but careful, because you can always, if you get a 60-40, you can still lobby an appeal to get another 10 points. I've done it in the past as well, and sometimes successfully, sometimes not. But it could also be a 85-15, where 10 million is not greedy, it's ludicrous. But we don't know. And as far as I understand, and I'm not involved, I'm just looking at it from common interest, who has some heavyweights as well, who are somewhere affected by it. If it's an 85-15, then it changes. So the key is here just to find out what the split is. You won't make that fight until the people know what the split is and people realize, okay. Or one side anticipates what the split is and is happy to do that. Clearly, they don't anticipate the same thing. One anticipates a 99-1 and the other one anticipates a 50-50. So you're not going to get that fight made until you know what the splits are. That's my feeling. Or his advisors take a proper look at what past scenarios have been. And that would be my advice, would say, okay, you want the fight right now, and I would make it now, because or else you'll see it will wait again, because there will be fights between Usyk and Fury and Joshua and Usyk and Fury. That triangle will then catch up, and that could be, and there White will, with any ruling, have no chance, because they'll just drop the belt and they'll say, forget it, cool. And then the purse will be a lot less than what they're asking for at the moment. So the move would be to make that fight now, if you're White. It's a good fight to make now, you know? They're looking for an opponent, so it could all be settled. But then you need to, as the advisors, and if I understand correctly, his advisors haven't been around boxing too long, they need to go back and have a real look at what numbers have been paid in the past on these sorts of fights. Not the number, but the split. Take that split, work out what the pot on that gate is. And that fight, what is it? $20 million fight? Yeah. So take that number, work out a sensible number, justify that number in negotiation, and make a deal. That would be my advice.
Most logic I've heard said on the matter, really. And that's a good...
Yeah, no, but it's Umar, I've been there 100 times. So it's quite, and more. It's very difficult. And the people behind White it's not going to be, it's making, it's they probably invested money into him along the way. They want to make their money back. You know, Gillian wants a good payday, which he more than rightly deserves. But the thing is, until you have that outline, that border, it's very difficult to do. So you can either wait for that border, miss the opportunity, but I'm telling you, then you're going to be waiting at least a year, or you go back, look historically, what was that border? And from that border, you put the numbers in, and don't get carried away with how many buys it's going to do. It will do well. It will do well. It will do very well. Yeah, but it's also not, it's not Fury Joshua. Yeah, that's very, very clear. It's not for the undisputed, but it will do very, very well. And take those numbers, you know, I don't know, take 700,000 buys, something like that, maybe 800 of the push, 700, though I would say is okay. Take 700,000 buys and work off a gate of, you know, you've got to do it indoors at that time, 3-4 million gate, whatever ESPN is throwing into the pot, that should be laid open, and work it out, and work it out from that way. And if you can't work out a deal like that, then that's not good. If your people can't work out a deal like that, I'm pretty sure, I don't know who negotiates for him, but if it's with Eddie will know that. Eddie will know what the deal is there. But I do think that it wouldn't be good for Dillian to wait, because he can have all the rulings in the world. And yeah, fantastic. He wins the belt against, I don't know who's next in the ranking, someone not Wilder. Important. A Wilder. Well, that's a good fight. And yeah, he's going to earn less money. And when he gets that belt, the other three are going to fox in a triangle. That for me is the clear thing that's going on. You know, and then the belts will go haywire. You know, make that Fury fight now. Make it now. It's a great fight, great time. Just my salt and pepper on it as an interested fan.
Kellis Allen, thank you very much for talking to IFL TV throughout this year. We'll speak many times in 2022. Just want you to sign us off, as this is the last interview we're going to put up of the year. Like a kind of last message to everyone who watches your stuff on IFL.
Listen, first of all, thank you for putting up with me for the year. That's the first same thing. No, I'd say, listen, go out there and enjoy. I'm not really into the goodbye for the year. Have a absolutely scintillating New Year's. Do everything I would do, i.e. no holds barred. Go out there and have a cracking time. And looking forward to see you in 2022. It's going to be absolutely massive. Wasserman Boxing, bringing it on in a big way. Looking forward to it.
Definitely. And we hope to see you in Cardiff on Eubank Junior.
If you think we were pumped in 2021, you just watch 2022. Getting recharged, ready to absolutely tear it up next year.
Sounds good to me. Kellis Allen, thank you very much for your time. Happy New Year.
Thanks, Umar. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global. Sports Social Podcast Network.